All right, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 511, recorded live on September 6, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Task 427 and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon or PayPal logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Well, Mr. Burke said he is going to be a little late. He's working on something out, doing dad stuff with one of his sons, and said, yeah, he'll be here, but he's just going to be running a little bit late. So we expect him to be popping in just about any time now. I personally am getting ready for the apocalypse, because here in North Kakalaki, we may not. It depends on which news group and how much fake weather news. Is that a new thing that runs out?
Fake weather.
Fake weather news on who's going to get run over by Hurricane Irma. And then just behind her is her cousin, Hurricane Jose. So
is that the bad hombre, and is he going to build a wall to keep it out?
I am not sure, but that brings up a whole different subject, doesn't it? And yes, the comedians are going to have a royal joke with that one. So anyways, the way that the track is going now, they still don't know what's going to happen with hurricanes. I've seen it where it's been, you know, within hours of coming and landing someplace and have it veer one way or another. Mm-hmm. So it's a big guessing game. But Irma is like the strongest hurricane on record in the past 100 years in the Atlantic. So it needs to be taken seriously for stuff like that.
I did like Sir Richard Branson's survival strategy for it.
Oh, yeah?
He's down in the basement in his wine cellar with his crew.
That's how you do it.
I mean,
assuming the wine cellar doesn't get flooded, yeah.
That's good. Yeah,
I'm sure he's got some pretty strong pumps there. Sir Branson's got the money; he can have some pretty strong pumps. It's not going to bother him.
He says he didn't expect a lot of his wine cellar to be there at the end.
Right.
As in emptied.
Yeah, you know, there's sacrifices everywhere. I'm just saying. So yeah, already just if you're looking and if you're in the North Kakalaki, I can't even imagine what Florida or South Carolina is like right now. But even in North Carolina, I went out to my favorite spot by going out to Walmart. Okay, we don't have high expectations here. The eggs, the milk, and the bread already are gone. The rolls are still there. I thought that humorous. But everything else gone. I think wife Amy stopped off. We know the local hardware store here. And she got the last, I think she got 4 of the last 8 cases of water that was there. Walmart had none. So it isn't... You don't have the sense of the apocalypse about to come to you like you normally do because it's still too far away. But the people are getting prepared way earlier this time.
They might actually get to restock the shelves.
Yes,
before it hits.
Yes, so we'll have to see what happens. But everybody was very civil. Everybody was very nice. But you get that 2 days before the hurricane's going to hit, and people are running around with weapons, and, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, we've got...
Yeah, Houston's used to that, so...
Yeah. Well, our civil defense guys give us a checklist of everything we're supposed to have in the house so right. that when disaster strikes, we're fine. Have we got everything? Yes. Have we got it all one place? And could I reel off at the top of my head where everything is? Probably not. But I do have about 4 or 5 days worth of water in old juice bottles stuck under the house.
So oh, there you go.
We just need to change it because it's been sitting there for a few months.
I've got to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Tap water's fine.
Houston, that happens periodically enough, and the bottled water is about the one thing that most Houstonians don't have enough of when it comes.
Yeah,
because you know you drink a lot of water when it's hot out and you have no electricity.
Yes,
and you know, always fill the tub up, my tub up with put some. A certain amount of bleach that I'm sure my wife knows the perfect amount. I don't. That's her responsibility.
That's right.
Just in case. Never had to go to that, even with 6 days of electricity loss during Hurricane Ike, but always been prepared.
Yeah, the last one that took us out last year or the year before, we were out for like 3 days. We had water, but the thing that did happen that people don't realize is it starts draining down enough that it starts hitting the bacteria at levels of the water that's in the system, and you can't drink the water after that.
Exactly.
You've got water, you just can't use it, and if you don't have in an area that's all electricity, no gas, there's unless you're boiling it on the grill or something, you got no way of boiling it. So having that bottled water is literally a lifesaver for things like that. So anywho, that's what we got going. So we'll find out if I'm not here for the next telecast, you know what happened. Because Jose is right behind Irma, so it's like, all right, cool. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Too much fun.
My wife's hoping that neither one of them go further into the Gulf.
They've had enough.
Well, they've had enough. I'm hopeful for my friends in Houston, but she's going to be in Louisiana at the end of this week. So,
fair enough. And you guys have wildfires your side of the states, don't you?
Yeah, Texas, it's either on fire or underwater. So that's basically it.
California wildfires, it's the season. I mean, it's always every year. I think right now there's 35 active wildfires in California.
Yep.
Yeah,
we've got...
And you talk about New Zealand having bad weather. I don't know.
When we do it right. I mean, that's just how it is. Let's see. Banter-wise, went for an FTF with wife Amy earlier in the week. Ended up...
You've caught Scott's disease.
Something like that. I wanted to get something. I wanted to get out and do something. And she's like, hey, let's go get it. So if she's interested and wants to go, we're going geocaching. And it was one of those things. We ended up DNFing it. The coordinates, after talking to the person who put it out, didn't check her cords. And nothing will get a geocacher more crazy. It's probably a good 500 feet off from we had. So this wasn't like – and we looked.
A new hider?
Fairly new. And it was one of those things where we're looking, and you know, when you're going for an FTF, you start expanding the area and expanding the area and expanding the area.
You're beta testing.
Yeah, and then Amy said, well, you see that gazebo way over there? I'm going to go check that. She checked that. She found another path over by this church because that's where it was by. And she said the clue had something to do with a cross and an angel looking over you. And she sat there and she looked around and there was a cross, but it was at the beginning of the path. And then the angel she saw was over kind of by some gravestones. And she says, I know I should have gone and looked. It was way on the other side of the church property. She said, I know I should have went and checked it out. But the mosquitoes were, we went like right at. Sun was going down and the mosquitoes was picking Amy up and she did not like that. So she abandoned it, and it bugged her all the time. I got a message back because I wrote the cash owner and said, "Hey, what's up? Give me a clue." And sure enough, we think that's where it is. So she came that close. I said, "Oh, anytime you get a nudge and you get a suspicion that there's a geocache, you gotta look." But so yeah,
has it been found?
I didn't even look. I was kind of frustrated because you know how you get when you sit there and you're looking for an FTF and you're sweaty and it's hot out and you're eaten up by mosquitoes and everything's going wrong and it's like, well, and Scott can fill in the blank.
I had a FTF run on a multi that a bunch of us went after, and after the third day and the third set of updates from it, I was 5 minutes behind the FTFer of it.
And that's when you're like... Yeah,
and it's a good. It was a good half a mile hike into the woods each and every day we went after it. So
wow,
just think of the exercise you got.
Yeah, I was going to say that's there you go. Yeah, yeah, but it's not that much fun when the fun factor is literally gone. That just Anyhow, so Taz, how about yourself? Scott's not here quite yet. What have you been up to?
Well, see, last weekend, Saturday, it was 109. Sunday, it was 110.
Oh, man.
And so besides making out to a couple bike shops where my son wants to get a bike that costs more than my first three vehicles combined, I spent the time either in the pool or in AC.
Yeah. Now, does the word titanium come up?
Carbon fiber?
Carbon fiber comes up. Aluminum is more realistic, but still, still you're looking. It's like
how much?
A used car today costs less than what you're wanting me to spend on this
bike.
And you're 15 and a half. You're going to be getting driver's license.
Yes.
You know, are you even going to be using this thing in a year?
Yes, exactly. But see, that's logic.
My lad, we had something very similar. He won as a spot prize at an adventure race, won a carbon fiber mountain bike frame.
Ooh.
But he didn't, it was the frame. So you need little things like wheels, pedals, and brakes, and all the rest.
Ah.
So he sort of got the half price carbon fiber bike, and the rest was his 18th birthday present.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But now I've been slowly picking away on at a recently published night cache in the local cemetery.
Ooh.
You know, it's one of these ones of find this grave and what's the third digit of the year, Constance or whoever died. You know, those sorts of things.
Oh yeah.
But I've been doing it in my lunch hour, so of course, trying to find the fire tax in daylight. So, a bit of fun. But I finally got enough of it to work out where it should be on Saturday, so went for it and got second to find.
Oh, wow.
There's no way I'd have beaten the professional FDF chasers around here, so I don't mind at all on that. And on Sunday, the boys went running around a bit of Porirua for a midwinter race. It was too cold and too horrible. So I headed up the coast to Otaki to clear up a load of parts of multis and had much better weather. You know, I like multis, but they're not sort of family friendly when the rest of the family are muggles. You know, hang on for 10 minutes while I just add this up and make the checksums right. No, we've got another three places to visit before we get there.
Come on, Mom, are we done
That's
yet?
Not gonna work.
Yeah.
If you can't do the multi by Google Street View, which I've done plenty that way, then it's
so
not.
So have I. Guess that counts as cheating.
Then no, because you found the information. Doesn't say how you have to find it. then it's not family friendly.
Wow.
Well, what are the multis? It's an old one. It's a 2009 one. And there's four places you've got to go to. And it's at each one, you've got to find some information and use that to calculate the distance and angle. So it's all a way projection each time.
Wow.
It's a right pain in the ass. And I got the first three. First one from Google Street View. And then guesstimated the next two and went up and found them, and then ran out of time. But the fourth one, trying to project a location on your smartphone is a nightmare.
I don't think I've actually ever tried that.
Yeah, well, anyway, I sort of said, right, it's got to be this distance. right, GCC. Where around here do I wonder that it's likely to be?
And yeah.
I was sort of right, and fortunately, a few other people had said the final coordinates are a little bit out, but the hint's spot on. So I wandered around till I found somewhere that fitted the hint, and then yes, it was.
There you go.
So that's, does that count as cheating?
It's ingenuity. It's
sheer bloody-mindedness, actually, on that one.
That's cool.
But I've been finally tidying up the last few bits of the UK trip, which I fly out for in a couple of weeks' time, and the Oamaru event, which needs more people to get mega status.
Right.
So it's looking a bit dicey as to whether it'll get over the line on that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be awesome. They've announced the plans for Saturday includes a sort of Rogaine orienteering race around the town, mountain bike trips, whatever you want to do. It's great fun. Looks like it anyway.
All right.
Problem is I'm going to be severely jet lagged at that point because I've flown back from the UK about 2 days before. Oh. So I'm not going to bring my A game.
So is the Rogaine for color for men or...
Oh, I keep forgetting you have a strange name for hair dye.
Yes.
No, it's sort of long distance orienteering in teams.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's cool. Because otherwise Rogaine here is a whole different match. Just that.
No, I buy my own hair dye. I don't use
the.
But no, it'll be fun.
That sounds great.
And just a little bit of a heads up. I'll try and make the end of September, beginning of October podcast, but I'm going to be over in the UK and France, and the time zones are not friendly. It's about 3 a.m. their time. So
yeah, well, we got a lot of people that chime in at that time. You'll be fine.
Yeah, but are they expected to be coherent? Blurry
eye.
I'll
try my best, but I don't guarantee.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 297. Wow, they're just a couple off from 300. Geooh Live 8.0, the developer of Geo Live, returns to talk about version 8. So that'll be Thursdays on Geo Gearheads. And on Geo Snippets Reboot Podcast, I think we're going to be talking a little more about, because it is such a tutorial type style to that, our particular show for that. We're going to probably go over some more about the exact same thing we're going to be talking about tonight here on the Geocaching Podcast. And that deals with the new updated guidelines, because some of these are just doozies. And I think that it's worth going over that much for our crowd for GeoSnippets. So that'll be what we're going to be checking over tomorrow night on GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. For all you fine folks that, and I don't think I mentioned it here, we were going to do for episode 511, we were going to talk about, is it cheating? And this tonight's information, which just came in a couple of days ago, I think took precedent over it. So if you're irking for is it cheating, which is going to be great, and actually it's good because if Scott's not there, that takes half the fun out when it comes to stuff like that. So we're going to do it next week. For is it cheating or not? And that's going to be an excellent episode. One of our viewers suggested it, and we're taking the stuff right out of what they brought up. So excellent discussion. Again, that'll be next week for the Is It Cheating show. So why don't we move on to that? We've got the please consider becoming a patron for our show. It costs money to do the podcast, and all your contributions are greatly appreciated and help keep us going. So if you can go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either our PayPal or our Patreon logos, and if you can give us a couple bucks each month, we would greatly appreciate it. Helps literally keep the lights on.
A friend join you in the room there?
Yes. She is, this is Ellie. Ellie.
Hello, Ellie's tail.
Come here. She's a 70-pound lab.
She's
so
a tail guard.
Yeah. She's a 70-pound lab, and when we do the show, she's underneath the studio table here, and she decided to go for a little walk. And she's just a great dog. We got her – I don't want to say rescue. We got her in a situation where the owners simply could not take care of her anymore, and she's a 4-year-old lab mix and just all muscle. I mean, when this dog runs, you hear the wind blow by. I mean, this dog is just pure speed, and she's just a beautiful, great, great – nature dog. So she likes being with her peeps. So she's usually down by my feet. Right now she's next to me getting petted. So, yeah, we'll get pictures of her so you can see what Miss Ellie looks like. But, yeah, so she's our studio mascot now for stuff like that.
The cat's ignoring us. She's curled up on the
The cats. We got four cats. That they'd care less. Yeah, cool stuff. Oh, that's right.
Mine's in the corner of the room hiding.
Yeah. So I don't have the GCPC mailbag sound off, but Sarah, you want to take this part?
Which one?
For the GCPC mailbag?
Yeah, I can't do a Canadian accent, so I'm not even going to try. What it says.
Eh?
I'll eat the maple syrup and the pancakes, but that's as far as
Oh, yeah.
And the best skiing I ever had was at Lake Louise.
All right, there you go.
Now I've done the love fest. Anyway, first of all, I love you guys. I only wish we had a Canadian podcast. My name is not Greg, and I do not have brown hair. However, I was selected to participate in a virtual cache. I'm both honored and humbled to have been selected. I've only been caching for about a year and a half. I'm not sure why I was chosen, but my best guess is because of my gadget caches. I've put out 15 so far as well as 30 other types of caches, and pretty well anybody that visits the gadget caches gives me a favorite. I think I've already got close to 500 favorite points.
Very nice.
It takes me hours to build a gadget cache, and I actually love putting out caches rather than finding them. I've only found approximately 300. Perhaps it's because I have no hair. Lol. Happy caching, my friend.
Very cool. Well, that was from Larry, and thank you so much for writing into there, eh? It's awesome.
Yeah, congratulations on the virtual reward.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and we were wondering what the key point of how people were getting selected for this out of the algorithm. And I believe Scott said if your name was Greg, you would get it. Or I said, yeah, if you have brown hair, you would get it too. So that's about the closest we can get to the reason why anybody got anything. But anywho, thank you, Larry, for sending in for that. We love it. And if you've got...
I love gotcha caches.
I do too. So if you've got things that you want to send in to us, send it to gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. And we'd love reading about it. So thank you so much for that. All right, let's see. I don't even think I'm going to hit the news button, Taz. Because the news is what we're talking about tonight.
Going to jump right on into it?
Yeah, we're going to jump right into it. So this is episode 511, the newly updated geocaching guidelines. And I put 2017 because people are going to say, when did they do that? So I've got it marked there just in case. I'll go ahead and read the top part here, and then we'll jump into some of the stuff. This came from Chris Ronan, who's of course the PR manager for Geocaching HQ, and it says this was September 5th, so that was literally yesterday. Said today we released updated geocache hiding guidelines with the goal of making the guidelines easier to read and understand. In addition to an improved layout and 15% fewer words, woohoo, we moved supporting materials to our help center and added some changes or clarifications to specific guidelines. The geocaching blog has much more detail about the updated guidelines. Please feel free to reach out if you have any questions. Yours in caching, of course, Chris Ronan. So, yeah, anytime.
So it was a 15% reduced number of words for those like myself with ADHD. And...
yeah, I mean, not necessarily. You can have things that are too long and not worth reading. Making it clear, yes, great, improved yes. guidelines. But removing the words?
I don't know, less or more pithy.
I'm mocking, but it does. It generally does read better.
Yes. It's and I'm going to bring this up on the on for the people watching the video. You'll be able to see this. For the people listening to us, we're going to have all the links to all the stuff that we're talking about tonight. But this is so you can actually see what it looks like. This is right out of the. Hang on a sec. Let me redo that one. So I pushed the wrong button. There we go. All right. So this gives
you're
a little.
That up, I'd like to say that I really. I admire the volunteer translators that are bringing it into 24 different languages.
That's yes.
Well done, on well done, you guys.
Yes. So it's a much, the guidelines appear to be, to me, much crisper, cleaner reading, which always is a plus. When you can't go wrong with black and white when it comes to reading. I'm just saying. When you start throwing in all the other stuff, it seems cluttered. So they've cleaned it up. They've put this nice, side area for you to check out different things. And then it just kind of goes into all the stuff they have. So you can see they've cut things out. They've done some diagrams. A little interesting. I don't remember if these were actually in the other ones before.
Yeah, those were. I think it's got a little bit more verbiage with it.
So yeah.
So you understand why it's acceptable and unacceptable.
Right. And what we're looking at, folks, is where cash placement is when it falls in between things like virtual multi-cache waypoints as opposed to physical ones. And depending on where the caches are hidden, why one particular geocache may almost be perfectly fine but is not. So they go over all that in some pretty good style there. So it's the readability is very, very nicely done with this. I think you can't get it much more clean than this. So, yeah, I think the verbiage is better. And anytime you don't have to feel like you're reading stereo instructions, it's always makes it a lot better when it comes to trying to get things across to people about what the different parts are. So there's lots of stuff there, and I think that they did a good job cleaning that stuff up. So literally the guidelines, if you want to go check them out yourself, just go to https://www.geocaching.com/play/guidelines. And you'll get all the guidelines by going there. Now, we're not going to go through all the guidelines. We're going to go over the interesting ones that got updated. And to go through that, you can go to their blog. And I'm going to bring some of that up here. And then, guys, I'm just going to let you start going through the top. And we'll just work our way down and start discussing each one there. So, Chad, while I'm bringing this up, why don't you just start reading that top section there?
Okay, so from the caches must be accessible?
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Okay.
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, just want to make sure. So caches must be acceptable. Make sure to hide your cache for the long term, where it is available most of the week, and so it can be found without contacting anyone. Check out the new section in the guideline text about accessibility.
Yeah, so part of this, and we're just going to take some of this stuff a little bit as it goes here. So caches must be accessible. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That
usually helps when to find them.
Right. So when they say things like where it is available most of the week, and so it can be found without contacting anyone...
I mean, there's like some things where letterboxes are caches are within businesses, especially some really older caches.
Right.
And some multi-caches within libraries. There's a lot of nice multi-caches that you can find within libraries. So, yeah, it's not available 24/7, but during reasonable hours, you can get to it.
Yeah, now no.
That they're sort of in a stately home or somewhere where there's an admission charge, and obviously you can't get in when it's not open.
Yeah, well, right. That, I won't even bring up state parks. Yeah, the part that they said for no contact required, caches cannot require geocachers to contact the cache owner or anyone else. What about phone a friend?
Well, it says require. I mean, it's acceptable if you go out and phone a friend, as long as your friends are nice and willing to help you out.
and availability caches must be available most of the week. I mean, there's a lot of parks out there where sunset you're not allowed. So
right,
okay.
I mean, sun up to sundown. I mean, it still counts as most of the week.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple around us. There's near churches.
There's a cache in Shanghai that I was trying to do. That
wasn't that the illegal one
in a bar, huh?
Was that the illegal one?
I think it would be considered illegal today if it was hidden today. But yeah, it was in a bar. It wasn't originally hidden in a bar, but it was taken into a bar, you know, an alcoholic beverage serving location. And I was trying to get it before my flight, and the place was not open. And it's only open from about like 3 a.m. or something like that.
Right.
So I think that's a little narrow window, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one's a doozy, and I'll let Sarah go ahead and do that one.
Okay. Caches cannot be buried except with permission.
Dun, dun, dun.
To avoid problems with land managers and property owners, geocaches were previously not allowed to be buried under any circumstances. In general, this is still the case unless you get explicit permission from the property owner. See the Regional Geocaching Policies Wiki for details in your region.
Okay, so let's open up this can of worms.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. So when they go, and I'm going to click on here just to see the link that they have for Do Not Bury. Let's see. Do not bury geocaches either partially or completely. You must not create a hole in the ground to place or find a geocache. The only exception, and this is brand spanking new, is if a property owner gives explicit permission. What is that? They don't define it. Explicit permission. Are we saying written? Are we saying a handshake and a beer? I mean, what are we saying for explicit permission here?
I mean, handshake and a beer, how do you prove it?
Exactly. Which you must provide to the reviewer and state on the cache page. And then they get into the Regional Geocaching Policy Wiki for the details in your region. I'm just going to click on it just for giggles because I haven't seen that one before. So, and when they talk about regional, they're talking about Africa, the Americas, Asia and Pacific, Europe and Eurasia, Middle East. And then this is going to break down in all. I'm just going to click on Americans, North America, South America, United States, Canada.
Oh, it breaks down to the state level.
It doesn't include Mexico.
Because each of yours want to be different.
All right, so let's see.
Province area in Canada.
Michigan, North Carolina. Let's see. Just get our kicks. North Carolinas. And then there's a – holy crap. Excuse me. But, I mean, there is – 2, 4, 6, 8. They break this down by city. They break this down by county. They've got a lot of work in this, I must admit.
Holy cow.
City of Mills Park, City of Fayetteville Parks. There is ways of, they're giving you information on how to contact these people to get this.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I like that. There's a lot of stuff.
In the past, you know, you had to go through 100 people to find that one person that knows the information.
And, yeah. NC State Parks, they got a whole thing on this, and I know what that entails. So, yeah, they've got a lot of information. I have to give them credit. They really, really filled this out with what you need. It still doesn't go over what is explicit. But you have to have it on the page, and you have to have it with the reviewer for this to go through. So when the person that says, yes, I got permission, buries the geocache, what's going to happen then? Because you know there are geocachers out there that are going to try to bend the rules and see what they can get away with. Then what?
Fred got permission, so I assumed it was okay.
Yeah. You know, and if they don't read all of it and dig down like we just did, wow. I'm just saying. And what are they going to bury? I mean, you know, is it going to just be, I literally covered it up with dirt? And, I mean...
Yeah, that in my opinion is... I don't know. I like the non-burying rules. Now, nature tends to bury plenty of things on its own, especially, you know, down south, the fire ants will bury the caches for you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as a spade, now it's a required tool of the trade.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I just don't see anything good happening out of this one.
Maybe they should be required to put a what do you call those? They tell you what type of what information about the caches, such as
a prelog or what it is. Yeah, a description.
I can't think of the term for it. Attribute. A must have a buried attribute.
Yeah. And even then, what do you do? I mean, I'm not going to go around with a frickin' metal detector trying to find an ammo box, you know, buried 6 feet. And what's buried? 6 feet down, 8 feet down, 10 feet down, 3 feet down? What's buried? So I'm just saying, I think this is going to open up some interesting discussion down the road.
And it's going to be also, my issue is if something's buried, let's say, covered with whatever... No, the amount of damage that bad and random searches do.
Yes.
Or multiple searches in the same area.
Yeah.
It's enough without adding more.
Trust me, I've done enough unintentional damage looking for non-buried caches.
Guilty of charge as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, I think, out of them, raised my eyebrow the highest when I saw that one. For that.
Yes.
Let's move on to do not damage property. Do not damage, deface, or destroy public or private property, especially archaeological and historical sites when you place your cache. That's been common sense ever since wherever. I don't see where the change is. Do not place caches.
Yeah, but I do need to state it.
Yes. Do not place caches in a location that requires or encourages geocachers to damage, deface, or destroy public or private property, especially archaeological and historical sites. So, to me, the one that I think my biggest pet peeve is where somebody will have this wonderful, it doesn't even have to be wonderful, they just have landscaping. And they sit there and think, well, that's a great place to put it. And you've got people tramping down flowers and plants and a little bit more thought into placement when it comes to stuff like this, knowing the footprint that's going to be coming along looking for this thing.
Yeah, no bush hides anymore. No bush hides.
Especially holly bushes. I'm just saying.
Or gorse or flax.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Perhaps if... The reviewer is going to require a photograph of the cache before to be placed and in situ so they can decide whether it's acceptable.
Down the road, they may have to.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do not harm.
I couldn't find it, so I threw down another one.
Do not harm plants, animals, or environment. Do not harm animal life when you place your cache. Do not place caches in a location that requires or encourages geocaches to harm plant or animal life. In some areas, geocaching activity may need to cease for portions of the year due to sensitivity of some species. So, yeah, if you're in North Carolina and you are trying to do a beach hide, but they've got the sea turtle crossover, you know, that kind of stuff, you got to really be careful of where you place stuff. And I know for a fact there's a lot of parks out there that they just have sensitive areas they don't want people stomping around.
Well, that's one of our local caches who disables his caches for about 2 months a year because it's lambing season.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So he disables all the ones that are likely to cause conflicts with the farmers and then re-enables them once the restriction's lifted.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly sensible.
Absolutely.
No problem at all with that.
Yep. I'll let you, Scott, if you want to get the next one.
Scott's not here, but I'll get the next one.
Chad, I'm sorry. I'm reading this and looking over.
So the definition of a container in a logbook. The lack of proper definitions and examples for container and logbook has led to confusion in the past. We have included more specific guidance for logbooks and containers in the new guideline text. The container must hold the logbook. The logbook must be physical, replaceable, easy to sign, and enclosed within a container. Now, I've got magnetic caches.
Right.
Where it's just the magnet, and it is the logbook is quite literally
the back of the sign. Back
of the magnet.
Right.
And so when you put that magnet up there, that says N1ST. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's slapped on the utility box, which I got permission from the utility company, of course.
Yes.
But anyways, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Does that technically is outside those rules? You know, how hard are they getting this, getting to this? I've also found a cache, that's been a piece of paper quite literally on a bulletin board with the geocaching logo that you sign.
Right.
I
saw one that was a CD stuck in a crack in a wall.
You know,
and the CD was the logbook.
Right. I think there's some room for variation here.
Yeah. The only thing that they put in the guidelines for this, for all physical caches, there must be a logbook for geocachers to record their visit. The logbook must be, and they put physical, all right, replaceable. Mm-hmm. All right. Easy to sign, enclosed within a container.
Mm-hmm.
And the examples that they give are notebook, paper, scroll.
There are crap containers around. I'll give that. And it doesn't necessarily guarantee that even the best container, the previous finder, closed it properly.
Right.
So you still get your wallpaper paste.
Yeah.
Back in mache logs.
Yes.
There are plenty of logbooks that I have found out that are far superior than some that are enclosed within a container.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it can hold up to the environment, I don't think being enclosed within the container should be a requirement.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The debate continues.
I think it's one of those ones of convince your reviewer that it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everything else is debatable. Why not?
Shall I take the next one?
Please.
Don't hide caches far from home. Vacation or holiday, and this is near to my heart at the moment, vacation or holiday caches are usually not published because they're difficult to maintain. It's best to place physical caches in your area so you can respond quickly to maintenance needs. In rare circumstances, a vacation cache with an acceptable maintenance plan might be published.
Yep.
Are you not?
Yep.
So, I'm still idly thinking about an earth cache when I'm at back up in the northeast of England.
So, you don't have to maintain an earth cache. You don't have to maintain a virtual. You do need to know if there's like public information that's there.
If the signboard's been taken away, yeah.
Right. If it goes missing, and that's about it. I think the cache hunters would be more than willing to let you know. I mean, I've let people know that, hey, the information seems to have walked away here. Either that or I'm just blind, which about a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
I agree with this. As long if you have an acceptable maintenance plan, if you're going to do it, have an acceptable maintenance plan. I mean, I've got cash down in Brazil, so when I had it all planned out beforehand, still went around a bit with the Brazilian reviewer who's actually in Portugal.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, it speaks Portuguese, so there that's you go. Fine.
Close enough for hand grenades and horseshoes. Yep. Let's see. Communicate with your reviewer. We have added new tips on how to communicate with your reviewer. Prior to publication, Cache Hide should always provide information about the geocache location, container, and how it is hidden. Yeah, well, how's the reviewer supposed to figure it out without that? Let's see. In the guidelines, it says, when you submit a cache for review, add a reviewer note. Describe your geocache location, container, and how it's hidden. The more information you give, the fewer questions will need to be asked, and the faster your review process will go. You and your reviewer should communicate by posting reviewer notes. Reviewer notes appear as logs on the unpublished cache page, and they are emailed to the address in your account. Reviewer notes are automatically removed from the cache when it's published, along with any photos attached to it. If you wish to appeal the reviewer's decision, contact Geocaching HQ. Choose the appeals category for your message. So it's nice that they're at least trying to open up the communication part of that. The next one I think is going to be a goodie, Chad.
No precedence. Although no precedence was part of the previous guidelines, the reviewers were unable to link to it. You can find the new link here.
Okay, so the new link. So
let's open that baby up.
Let's see. There are no precedents for placing geocaches. Past publication of a similar geocache is not justification for publication of a new geocache. If a geocache was published that you feel violated the guidelines, you may report it. However, the existing geocache may have been placed prior to the guideline change and may be grandfathered. So, yeah.
So just because that puzzle cache was back in 2007 was more than 2 miles away from the actual hiding location doesn't mean that you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that actually falls into the next one, Sarah.
Shall I do the next two? Because yes. They're sort of bundled together.
Yeah, go for it.
To me. Well, it's the two are no agendas. They've updated the text to clarify what they mean by agendas, including highlighting causes such as charitable ones. And no commercial content, where Geocaching HQ may make exceptions to commercial guidelines for things like geotours and trackable promotions. Where's my magic promotion? Grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. And so my comment is here. Geocaching.com set the rules so they can break them as they see fit.
Yeah, because they do it all the time.
And it's things like, say, I wanted to have organized an event in when I'm over in the northeast of England to promote the Oamaru Geofest, which is at the end of October, and the Wellington one, which is going to be there next year. Would that count as an agenda?
Yeah, anything that has any kind of premise.
Yeah. Hey, let's have an event to tell you what's happening with the organization of this thing.
Yeah, see, that's where they get into. When it comes to no commercial content, they say overtones of advertising, marketing, or promotion. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I might as well forget my Trump versus Kim Jong-un theme.
Right, yeah, that's a no-no. Suggestions.
You know, there's a Trump version of Cards Against Humanity.
I'm going to keep it right there. Suggestions are requires for the finder to do any of the following. Go inside a business, interact with employees, purchase a product or service. Name links or logos are the following: businesses, commercial products, competing games, or cash listing services. And they mean anything. Links or logos of agencies or organizations, including nonprofit organizations, unless needed for permission. So I've always had a thing about where they've done this. They make the rules. So when you go through stuff, we cannot even promote, like, say, the Geocaching Podcast. We can't do that either because that's us. It's if you want to think of it as an organization. But it's that kind of thing. You can't promote other people's commercial content.
My sort of thing is, if I decide I'm going to hold an event in the local pub, am I allowed to say that, hey, this event's at the Frog and Virus or whatever?
It depends upon your reviewer.
Yeah.
I've had reviewers tell me, no, I cannot use the word Starbucks. And so
Well, I wouldn't use it in polite company either. The coffee's awful. Sorry, this is a Wellingtonian speaking.
That's it.
Okay. So, the flying saucer, it's like, we're holding it, we're having a UFO event, get your beers here. Some allow it, some don't. Yeah. And you know, if they say no, then just change the wording. You have enough information there for a real geocacher to figure out that, hey, that's the Starbucks there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if Info Ferret doesn't want to go.
That's right.
Of Starbucks.
That's right.
Put it this way. There are something like 400, as far as I know, something like about over 300 coffee shops in Wellington.
Wow.
Only one is a Starbucks.
Wow. That is something.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, that we've got the one.
That's it. All right. So family.
People
family
get very passionate about their coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have added text to clarify that cash pages must be family friendly. I mean, that's kind of like common sense for that. But basically, yeah, they're saying geocaching is a family friendly game. Cash pages contain contents include description and name must be suitable for all ages. I don't think that's too much to ask.
That makes sense.
For stuff like that.
Hang on. Is my wet sweater, bras, stuck cash going to get archived now?
Well, it depends on how friendly you are. I'm just saying. So, yeah, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
Cash owner responsibility. If you are a cash owner and unsure about your responsibility, head over to this new section that details maintenance expectations. We don't have to go through all that, but we'll leave a link in the show notes on where you can get all that information. But I think what they say here, with more than 3 million geocaches worldwide, cache owners must be extra careful to keep their geocaches in good shape. This prevents geo-litter and keeps the game fun for all involved. If cache owners showed that they can't keep up with their maintenance of existing ones, they might lose their hiding privileges. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of a couple of cache owners who get very upset about that.
Yep. Yep.
I could think of a couple of cache owners that might need to have their privileges removed.
Yes. All right. Chad, if you want to get the next one, Letterbox Hybrid.
So Letterbox Hybrid caches. Rules about the distances between the final coordinates and the posted coordinates are defined by the underlying cache type, traditional, mystery, multi-cache, and Letterbox Hybrid. So what does it say about Letterbox Hybrids? In contrast to classic letterboxing, a Letterbox Hybrid requires GPS usage for at least part of the search. A Letterbox Hybrid consists of at least a container with a logbook and a stamp. Letterbox Hybrids can be logged without using a stamp. The stamp, I think everyone understands that.
Yeah.
I don't think that
they don't really give
clarify
anything
here, but I know some there are some reviewers that will allow you to put the Letterbox Hybrid at the coordinates that you post.
Right.
But I don't think that is the proper way to do it. Usually a Letterbox Hybrid, you got some posted coordinates where you're starting from, and then you have the more traditional letterboxing information about, you know, look for the pine tree, the tallest pine tree in the valley. It should be 50 paces away.
Right.
Walk to that, turn 90 degrees to the right, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you do a little bit of orienteering type activity along with the geolocation.
Yeah, I'm going to do where I go because I know Sarah's nipping at the bid for event caches. So where I go caches posted coordinates must be the same as the start at Canorn coordinates on whereigo.com. Exceptions are play anywhere cartridges, reverse cartridges that start with a later waypoint, cartridges used for geo art. For these exceptions, the posted coordinates must be within 2 miles of the final. Okay, Sarah, go ahead and wrap that up with the event caches.
So, hang on. Before we go on, it's like I think, you know, right now those are the play anywhere and reverse are the only two that kind of make sense for it. But I think, you know, slamming the door shut on this and saying that you can't do another start at, I think there are other things that can be developed that should be at least considered, and that's just my personal opinion.
Fair enough.
mean, I like where he goes, but the main problem I have with him is the stupid phone crashes on me and at some point halfway through it, so you got to start again.
That's it.
You get one of those Apple phones, right?
One of those iBricks.
There we go. All right, event caches.
Yeah. They cannot be held in or near transportation centers such as airports, cruise ship ports, and train stations.
Huh.
And Mike, I mean, there's one event I went to in London last year that breaks all the rules. It was held in London in a pub, so commercial content, at a railway station last year. But it was actually sensible. It was nowhere near the tracks. It was no, but in practice, it is. That those restrictions might well be less so. And how near is near?
Were those restrictions there in the past? Because I've hosted events that would have been disqualified by these in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine somebody wanting to hold, for example, in London, they've just reopened, they put a virtual up at platform 9 3/4, as in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can imagine somebody want a group of people wanting to do an event to all get the board the train to Hogwarts,
right?
And that wouldn't happen now, and get the virtual that wouldn't happen now,
huh? Interesting.
It would be in or near a transportation center.
I wonder if it's what to keep from disruption. I guess I don't understand for something like that. It's not like there's a container involved. Yeah. I'm assuming this would include flash mobs. You know, I'm not quite sure with that one. I would like to get a little more clarification on that.
Yeah.
All right. Last ones. Let's see. CETO event caches. We have updated the text regarding CETO caches to clarify that we encourage partnership with other organizations, and that a separate sign up is all that is needed for such events. Does that not just contradict what they just put for the other stuff?
Not sure.
So if you've got, we're doing this for the Benson Lake County Park, and they have a group of people that are involved in that, and we are putting in the case that we're there to help them for cleaning up the park, blah, blah, blah. Is that still kind of on the borderline when it comes to organizational type things?
Agendas.
I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's where's the line at?
As one example near us is the Friends of the Bahatanui Inlet, which is one of my favorite bits of Wellington. They have an annual clear up every year, and one of the local caches has partnered with them said, if we can get more bodies here to help you in the cleanup, can we hold an event? And they do every year.
Yeah. Yeah, there's several that I attend that we do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, a lot of times, a lot of them, they'll have a thing at the end of the year where they'll have a thank you picnic that they invite everybody out of all the organizations to come and have a picnic for everybody for stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's what's where's Gray? What's the thing on it? And I agree they should encourage partnering with other organizations. They just don't want it physically put in that they're there, I guess. So I don't know. It's all in the wording. So anywho. So that's the guidelines. Couple of them I can see are going to be some interesting discussion for these. Most of these are really, really, you know, they're good. They make sense. But there's a couple in there. The burying one.
That's going to stir. The pot is going to be stirred on that one.
Yeah, that's
sure.
going to be interesting.
And I guess I can see why they've done the holiday caches. I mean, I'm very chary about placing a physical cache in the UK. Because
right.
I simply do not know their guidelines.
Right.
And I care enough about the game not to place a crap one.
Right. Which helps. We as the world appreciates it. All right. Well, good stuff. And that's the beauty of all this is that it's all made for discussion, and that's why we do this. So if you've got your opinion about this, please send it into gcpcmailbag@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the guidelines and the changes and what they mean to you, because we'd love to hear about it. So good stuff. All right. I want to thank Chaz and Sarah for all the stuff that you guys do. And I'm sure Scott is out there right now.
Chasing a first to find.
Yeah, I'm thinking. He's, you know, he's got his priorities for when it comes with stuff like that. So I just want to thank you, fine folks, for coming on by and visiting us with the Geocaching Podcast. All right. I think we can wrap this puppy up. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.